here we go. Very good. Okay, I'm going to ask if you would, with me this morning, just quickly open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to go ahead and just read do the text with you this morning, if that's okay. We're just going to start there, and then I'll get into what we're going to do this morning. But before we do that, let's open up with a word of prayer just right quick. Father God, we just thank you so much that we can come into your house and that we can speak your words, Father God, and that it can encourage us, it can build us up. Father, that it can help us through our week, Father God, that we can trust in you and lean on you as we learned this morning through this story, Father, that we can trust you. Father, let your word ring true this morning in our hearts. Father, I pray that our hearts are receptive. Lord, I pray that nothing leave my lips of clay before it clears your throne first, Father, that it would clear your throne before coming through my lips of clay. Father, I thank you for this. I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, Father, who died for our sins, Father God, who gave us this freedom to live with you, Father, as our Father, and to be truly set free from the things that hold us back. We ask this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, if you will turn with me, and 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that's where we're going to be this morning. I'm going to read verses 17 through 24. So 1 Corinthians 7, 17 through 24. This morning, here we go. It says, however, each one must live his faith in the situation the Lord assigned when God called him. This is what I command in all the churches. Was anyone already circumcised when he was called? He should not undo his circumcision. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? He should not get circumcised. Circumcision does not matter, and uncircumcision does not matter, but keeping God's commandments does. Each person should remain in the life situation and where he was called. Were you called while a slave? It should not be a concern to you. But if you can become free, by all means, take the opportunity. For he who's called by the Lord as a slave is a Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called as a free man is a Lord's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brothers, each person should remain with God in whatever situation he was called. This morning, I'd like to start off with a story, if I may. And it's about a woman. How many of y'all ever taken a flight? And ever taken a flight? How many of y'all ever done that? Got in an airplane, trusted the pilot sitting in the cockpit, and you trusted him to fly you in this thing that's 20,000 feet in the air and get you safely there. Any of y'all ever done that? Yes. How many of y'all have ever waited in the airport for a very long time? Raise your hand. Yes, more hands. Okay, great. That's good. Well, this lady, she was in the airport. She was waiting for her flight. And she knew it was going to be a while, and so she decided to sit down and enjoy a book that she had been reading. So she sat down and decided to start in that book. And as she did, she had this bag of cookies sitting next to her, and so she began to read her book, and she reached down and grabbed a cookie. But then she noticed a man sitting a couple of chairs down from her. And as she reached in the bag and grabbed a cookie and started eating, she noticed the bag started to go crinkle, crinkle, crinkle. And next thing she knows, the man has reached into the bag and grabbed a cookie, and he starts eating. Well, and she looks at him, and he looks at her, and he just smiles. And she kind of smiles back, and she gets back to her book, and she starts reading again. She reaches in and gets another cookie. A few moments later, she hears it again. Crinkle, crinkle, crinkle. She looks over, and he's just smiling, and he's got the cookie, and he's eating. And she's just smiling back, and all of a sudden, the flight is called. She closes her book. She goes, gets on the airplane, kind of frazzled by the event that had just happened. She just couldn't believe that someone would sit next to her and get into her cookies. You know, we don't like it when people get into our cookies, do we? No, absolutely not. So she gets on the plane, and she's sitting there. And as she's sitting there, she decides to reach down in her purse and grab her book. And what do you think she finds? Her bag of cookies. That's why the man was smiling. They're mine. I wonder what was going on through his head as he got on his plane. Crazy people. I don't know how I'm going to fit that in my sermon this morning, but maybe we'll talk about cookies. Who knows? Praise God. Wow. Awesome. That is a funny story. But I'd like to open up this morning with a story that's not so funny. It's about a little girl who was born. This family was anticipating the birth of this young baby, and as they were getting ready and preparing for her birth, she came, a little baby girl, a blessing to this family. It was a small country town they lived in. This girl was born, and all of a sudden she started to have problems with her eyes as an infant. The country doctor comes by and decides that there's something he can do for her, and he gives them a solution to give to her, but accidentally mixed it up with something else. And as they put the solution in her eyes, it caused her to go blind. Now, I'm sure that was an honest mistake. I can't even imagine how the doctor must have felt later when he found out that there had been a mix-up and it cost her eyesight. What must have been going on in his heart. The child grew up not knowing what life was like before she lost her sight. For her, there was only the blindness that was laid upon her. Honest mistake, of course. But nonetheless, it wasn't something she asked for. It wasn't something she was born with, but a circumstance that had been laid upon her. And I think about this story and I wonder, what do you do when circumstances beyond your control hit you? How do we respond? I mean, how do we cope? How will we or do we trust in the future when things happen that we don't understand? Let me ask, if you were this little girl or if you were these parents, what would you do in this situation? How would you respond? Some of us might react by wishing they were someone else or somewhere else, or perhaps maybe another family. Paul writes to the Corinthians and he encourages them that no matter the circumstances of their situations or what their conditions may be, to accept the condition they're in and the calling that is upon them as Christians in their circumstances. A few years ago, the theme for VBS concentrated on Paul and his time in Athens and the conditions and circumstances that surrounded him. And we can plainly see that he wasn't just speaking on something he knew nothing about. His life was filled with all kinds of adversity and disappointments and circumstances. Yet what kept him driving on? What kept his ministry going and growing in the midst of all these circumstances? Simple, we find it in the words in Corinthians in verse 20. He says, let each of you remain in the condition where you were called. And then in 24 he says, in whatever condition you were called, brothers and sisters, there remain with God. It's amazing. With God. God understands. He knows what you're going through. It doesn't matter what we face or what circumstances we find ourselves in. God can still use us and our gifts. To give a little background, Paul had learned that there had been some debate in the Corinth church about certain customs and traditions that should we be following, should we not be following? We've got these new converts, we got this going on, what should we do? And they were arguing and debating over all this stuff. And because there had been so much debate in the church, Paul decides to respond in his letter to them by encouraging them. I love Paul, he's an encourager, isn't he? He encourages them with a thought that there were more important things to be concerned with than just following traditions and customs. The same debate goes on today. Should we do this? Should we do that? And yet, Paul today would be saying the same thing through this word to us. God would be saying the same thing, at least I hope he is, to us. Don't get caught up in the stuff. Wherever you are, whatever you can do, do it with God. Whether we should do this or whether we should do that, should we follow certain traditions or customs in the church? So much debate that we spend more time focusing on the inside than the outside. We can become so focused on our traditions and customs that we lose sight of really what our ministry is about. I would like to focus on one thing this morning, and that's this one word, acceptance. Acceptance. What circumstances do you find yourself in today that test your courage, that test your Christian calling, your character, and your condition? You see, the expectation and Paul's encouragement of every Christian is to accept your calling, accept your character, and accept your condition. What do you mean, Ross? When you say accept your calling, what is it that you're talking about? Well, I would say that God has placed you where you are needed and where you need to be. It's by no accident that we're all here this morning, is it? No. I've heard many people over the years complain about the situations they find themselves in. They can't seem to find anything good to say about their circumstances or where they are, or people or places. And so they seem to just continue to complain. Or better yet, they ask God to change the circumstances or the people or the places around them. And if God could just do that, they could better adapt and serve. But God has placed you exactly where you are. He's placed you in a place where you can use your gifts and abilities right where you are, alongside with others whom also have abilities and gifts to use. Some would respond by complaining or suggesting changes without solutions. Some talk about how they would change it or make it better with solutions. Point is, God has placed everyone in His church with special abilities, unique talents, and spiritual gifts for His glory, not for ours. Instead of wishing for another church, a pastor, ministry leader, or calling, accept the one that you already have. Accept the one that you already have. Paul states this in his letter three times to the Corinthians in 17, 24, 22 and 24. He says, however that may be, let each of you lead the life that the Lord has assigned to which God called you. This is my rule in all the churches. For whoever was called in the Lord as a slave is a free, belonging to the Lord, just as whoever was free when called is a slave of Christ. In whatever condition you were called, brothers and sisters, there remain with God. God wants for us to accept our calling where we are placed. For surely I know the plans I have for you. You've heard that one. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for your harm, to give you a future with a hope. Jeremiah 29:11. I love that verse. God has a plan for your life. Even before you were born, He knows when and where you are to be. We just simply need to tap into that. I'm reminded of a story. Well, actually, I'll share a little story. Not reminded, I'll share one with you. You know, when we decided 9 years ago to make the move here to Canada, it wasn't an easy one. And since we've been here in the last 9 years, many things, many obstacles have stood in our way. And then the question started to come, were we going to remain in Canada or were we going to leave? As the struggles started to face us, as I started to face certain situations with immigration, as I started to face certain situations with things going back home and missing family and things like that, I actually had to get down on my knees and say, God, what is going on? What are you doing? Is this a test? And as I'm laying there in prayer, because sometimes I do that, I'll just lay just sprawled out on the floor and say, God, what is going on? What are you doing? And right in that moment, God says, Ross, do you trust me? Yeah, God, I do trust you. He says, then why don't you just take my hand and let me have this? Quit trying to do it on your own. Quit trying to come up with reasons for either staying or going. And just let me have it. And I said, you know, God, you're right. And so I decided I'm just going to leave it up to Him. And you know, the moment I released all of that and said, God, I'll find out what I can do right where I am. Find out a way I can serve you right where I am. I'm not going to look back. I'm just going to trust you. When I did that, it seemed like things started to change. I started to see things differently. Things started to change outside of my circumstances. And you know what? The circumstances were still going to happen the way they were. What changed? My perspective. As I began to trust God, as I began to let Him lead me, I didn't see things the same anymore. I was so blinded by all the circumstances around me that it didn't just take a small moment to just look at where I was and what was going on and just trust God and go, no matter what, God, I want to follow you. And I haven't looked back since, and it's been a glorious ride. It's what led us here this week to meet you, loving, kind folks, and thank you so much for loving on us. You see, think about this. If 4.5 years ago I decided to let my circumstances dictate who I was in Christ and I decided to let go, I wouldn't be here this morning. I wouldn't have known the love that we have felt from you all week. And what a shame that would have been to miss all of that just because I was allowing my circumstances to dictate to me who I was instead of saying, I trust you, God. I'll bloom where I'm planted. I'll just trust you. Bill Goddard once said that contentment is realizing that God has already provided everything we need for our present happiness. I love that. God has provided everything. Accept your character. God wants us to accept our character. In verse 18, he says, Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. Paul was saying it's not about the outward appearance that matters. It's the circumcision of the heart. It's not about your appearance. What's going on inside of you? What's going on in your heart? Paul encourages that it's not who we are or what we are that matters, but that we keep God's word in our hearts and follow his instructions and principles for our lives. Let me also say that there's a danger of concentrating too much on the outside stuff that we can get distracted, even by other people. You know, sometimes we can get distracted by, well, you know, if old Bill so-and-so would just be a little more of this or a little more of that, man, that ministry would go a little bit better. Or, you know, if Sister Sally would just, you know, give it a little more, just do a little more, that ministry would really, really grow. Sometimes we can get so focused on other things that we're not focused on what God's calling us to do. You ever had that happen? I remember a few years ago, well, it's been a few years ago, playing football. How many of y'all like football? Anybody like football? Good, okay. We got some football fans out there. Good. Playing football. And, of course, where I come from, football is a big thing, just like it is here. How many of y'all bleed green? Okay, don't have to hold your hands up. That's okay. Football is a pretty big thing, and we were getting ready for the championships. And all week long, everybody was complaining about who wasn't blocking what or who wasn't doing what. And, oh, so-and-so, if you just block a little better, the ball would come through. Well, you know what? If you would just block a little better, they wouldn't get any points. And it just all week long, it was going like that. And finally, the coach, I had an Irish, full-blown, 5'3", look like. But y'all ever seen Yosemite Sam in the old cartoons? That's what he looked like. He just a gruff old guy. Blew the whistle and he said, everybody take a knee. So everybody took a knee. And he started calling one of us one by one. And he said, here, that's your spot. Hey, Ross, get over here. That's your spot. Hey, James, over here. That's your spot. And as he was doing this, he says, okay, Ross, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to block that guy. He says, okay, what else are you going to do? I said, well, that's my job. He says, you focus on that. And he went down the line and he asked everybody what their job was. He says, man, you concentrate on your position, your job. Don't worry about that guy. You trust that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. You focus on what you're doing. If you do that, we'll win this one. We'll put this one away. We'll go on to the next one. And you know what? He was right. The rest of the week, the practice went better, and we actually won the game. The week after that, not so much. But it was okay because we learned a lesson. We focused on what our job was and not on the circumstances around us and not on others, and we were able to bloom, to learn that if we just focused on what our job was, we could put this one away and walk away in victory. See, instead of trying to be what we are or what we're not, be who you are. Be who you're called to be. God's interested in your availability, not in your capability. Did you hear that? God's interested in your availability, not your capability. He just wants you to say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And I'll do it. A very good friend of mine once said that God qualifies the called. He doesn't call the qualified. And I wrestled with that a bit. I said, what do you mean? He doesn't care what I know or what. He says, no. He just wants you to say yes, and he'll give you the steps. Paul encourages all of us to use what we have where we are, no matter the condition or circumstances that surround us. Who are we trying to please anyway? Man or God? My granny used to tell me this. I love it. She used to say, Ross, it is what it is, and it ain't what it ain't. Don't make it what it isn't. I love that. It is what it is, and it ain't what it ain't. Don't make it what it isn't. Circumstances are going to happen, folks, in our lives. Things are going to happen. And really, when you get to the bottom of it, it's all about attitude, isn't it? It's all about our own attitude. Are we willing, in the midst of circumstances, in the midst of saying, you know, you need to bow down to this idol, like the story we heard this morning. I love that. You know, we didn't talk, and it's like these two things just hand in hand go to. Isn't that cool how God does that? They could have had the chance to say, you know what, everybody else is doing it, let's do it. But no, they, in spite of their circumstances, they said, we're going to hold true to our faith. We're going to hold true to what God has called us to do. And God spared them, didn't he? Sometimes things happen in our life that we can't explain. But are we going to trust God? Are we going to bloom where we're planted? Are we still going to give God everything that we are, all that we have, in spite of the things going on around us? Because God understands. I mean, can you imagine, my goodness, God had to stand in heaven and watch his son die and be crucified. And he had to watch that. And that amazes me that he would love me that much. He would love me that much. Contentment and service are the true acceptance of a servant's heart. Don't quit because things aren't quite the way you think they should be, or they're not quite exactly where you desire them to be. Instead, serve anyway. You can be considering the circumstances in which you find yourself as an opportunity instead of a circumstance. It's just an opportunity. You aren't hurting anyone but yourself when you don't allow yourself to open up to the opportunity that God has and to bloom where you're planted. If the circumstances seem to change during the time of this acceptance, great. If not, serve God anyway. No matter the condition you find yourself in. That story that I was telling you about at the beginning, going back to that story, that little girl could have spent the rest of her life complaining and whining and saying, why me, God, why? She could have spent the rest of her life, the family could have spent the rest of their life complaining about this doctor and what he had done to them and just filled life with bitterness. Thinking that somebody owes them for their condition. Instead, this 8-year-old girl writes this. Oh, what a happy child I am. Although I cannot see. This is 8 years old. I am resolved that in this world, contented I will be. Oh, what a happy child I am. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world, contented I will be. Who is this young girl? Well, I think some of you might know her. For she writes, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the floodgates that all may go in. Or my granddad's favorite, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Sing with me. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. It was Fanny Crosby, the writer of these and many other hymns that we find in our hymnal. What a shame. What a shame it would have been. What a loss for our music community that she had resolved her life to bitterness and pain and thinking people owed her for her condition. And yet she decided to give God everything and live life blooming where she was planted. So what's the answer this morning? Simply this. Accept your calling. Accept the fact that you are here for a reason. Find your talent and serve God. Accept your character. Don't try to be something or someone you're not. Just simply be who you are. Don't worry about what others are or aren't doing. Serve where you can and concentrate on that. And lastly, accept your condition. No matter the circumstances, serve God anyway and bloom where you're planted. Father God, we're just so thankful that we can come into your house this morning and that we can be encouraged by your word. Father, I ask that if there isn't one person in here, if there's just even one person in here this morning that doesn't know you, that doesn't have a personal relationship with you, Father, that, Lord, that right now in this moment they would desire that, that you would just put a yearning in their heart to desire to know more about you. And that, Father, that there be someone in this congregation, Father, one of the elders or one of the leaders, Father, that they could just open their heart to and speak to and learn more about how much you love us and your saving grace. Father, I thank you for this message this morning. I thank you for encouraging us with the message to bloom where we're planted. Father, help us and give us the courage, Father, to not be compelled to looking at the circumstances surrounding us, but look to you, the one who can guide us through those things, that can give us the strength to live each day for you. It is in your precious name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ross. It has been a pleasure having you here these past 2 weeks. Thank you for bringing the word. We have a few announcements before we end off here. One of them is that Ken talked about membership earlier on. If you're at all interested in membership and you can attend a class this afternoon, I need to know within a minute. I need you to raise your hand, basically, because we need your name out there to accept you into membership, and we can't do that next week. Ashley has an announcement, so I'll call her forward and give you guys time to think. If you're interested and serious about membership, just I'll ask you in a few seconds to raise your hand.
I'll try and be brief because I know everybody's probably hungry, but I just have started a prayer group for ladies just because my husband is on shift work, so he's unable to be involved, but it's on Thursday nights at 8. I would love to be involved in the, and I'm sure many other people are in this position where you would like to be involved in the regular prayer group, but it just doesn't work with kids and whatnot. And my kids are crazy busy. So not crazy, but just busy. So it's at my house. I'll give you the address if you're interested. I just know with everything going on in the world and in our communities, sometimes I feel overwhelmed because with little kids, you kind of feel like you can't be involved in a lot of things. But it's one way to make an impact and make a difference is in prayer. And so God's just been calling me to that. And so I would love for as many of you ladies, any age, to join me in that. So if you'd like to, my phone number, I think, is in the bulletin. Otherwise, come talk to me and I'll give you the address. Thanks.
Thank you, Ashley. Also, if you want prayer after our service, Darlene will be available up front. One other announcement before I get to the membership question is we have a lunch right now. Soup and sandwiches have been provided, and there's a lot of dessert, so I see that most of you are interested in dessert, so that's good. Please stay. After our lunch together, we'll have a question and answer time with Ross and Tina. And he told me this morning that he likes the hard questions, so feel free to bring them. So everyone is invited to stay for lunch. Is there anyone interested in membership? And the reason why it's urgent is probably because of the October 10th meeting. Anyone out there? Oh, a little hand. In front of Kim McCammond. Okay, so it'll just be the three people taking membership classes. Please stand as we... I'm just going to pray for the meal, and then I'll end off in a benediction. Any more of those computer sounds? No. Okay. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for having the chance to have the Cashmans up here and to interact with them, to bless them. Father, I pray for the meal that we are about to have. Pray for your blessing on that, and we thank you for being generous. Thank you for the people who have provided, and just ask that your blessing would be on them as well. And for the time that we have with just getting to know the Cashmans better, Lord, I pray that you would be there with us, and there would be a spirit of openness and humility, and just, that we could, and vulnerability, I guess. Thank you, Lord, for being here right now. Thank you for our service. And thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. And now the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen.